There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. By the way, back to school. Of course, you probably noticed that this morning. Mobile County Public Schools back in today. Just, 56,000 of the kiddos heading back today. And not long here till Baldwin County and parochial schools and all are back in. So your traffic this morning was a little worse than normal. It will be the same way as people get back on the afternoon routine to this afternoon. So we'll keep an eye on it through traffic with Kane coming up starting at 4 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5. All right. I mentioned it's been too long since I've talked to my buddy Todd Stacey with the Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. He joins us now. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
It's going good. And I there's so much I want to talk with you about. And just even the stuff that's in the email that went out this morning will remind folks how to get that. But this story starts off with our buddy Jeff Poor and an interview here. Jeff Poor interviewing Tuberville, you said, to clarify remarks made after a speech. And this is what Tuberville had to say about President Trump and the VA. Explain the set it up, and then we'll talk about who's at odds here.
Yeah, well, you know, Tommy Tuberville, running for Senate, so he's getting around the state and goes up to the Shoals Republican Club. And so he's speaking there, and apparently he had just spoken to some veterans on the way in, veterans that were telling him that, hey, they're not getting the services they need for injuries and health care. And so during his speech, which lasted for about probably 30 minutes, halfway through it, he got into the veterans thing, and he said, quote, "I'm pissed off at Donald Trump that our veterans can't get health care. And if I saw him, I would tell him that, you know, that you said you're going to fix it and it's not fixed," end quote. Well, that was obviously a pretty strong way to describe the situation, you know, saying that you're pissed off at Donald Trump. If you're a Republican, I mean, goodness, you know,
yeah, well,
much
in today's
the entire
world
base loves the president.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say anything, not allowed to disagree on any front with the president.
And of course, in a 30-minute speech, Tuberville praised the president on everything, but that was the one thing he said. Look, I think he probably could have had a better way to say it. But look, there are
he's
still
Tuberville,
problems in the
man. He's Tuberville.
So anyway, that, you know, Jeff Poor was there, wrote the story, and immediately you saw other candidates pounce on this, especially Arnold Mooney. You know, he's a state representative from Birmingham who's running. He's really not gotten a foothold in this race yet. And so, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for him to say, you know, to try to maybe climb the ladder a little bit. So he called on Tuberville to apologize, criticize the comment and all this kind of stuff. And Tuberville did walk it back some. Like, hey, look, I love President Trump. He loves our veterans. We're going to do all this. And so it's just, you're going to see a lot more of this going forward. But what is interesting about it is, you know, can a candidate criticize the president? I had plenty of readers tell me today that, well, that was enough for them, and they won't be voting for Tuberville now just because he said that about the president. And, you know, setting aside how he said it, you know, being pissed off and using that language, he's kind of right, you know, and it's not necessarily the president's fault. It's not necessarily – it wasn't Barack Obama's fault. It wasn't George Bush's fault. But the Department of Veterans Affairs has been a mess for a long time, and so he's kind of making a good point, just chose the wrong way to say it.
Well, it's interesting, too, though. I guess it comes home to Tuberville, who's been, at least if you listen to him, he is the most He is Kenneth Mas Trumpy. He is Mas Trumpy, right? He's the Trumpiest of them all.
Yeah, and so and that's an interesting part of it is that, you know, I actually sort of found it refreshing that this, yeah, the guy who kind of cloaks himself in Trump sort of had a genuine moment, a candid moment where he said one area where this he was not satisfied with the president. I kind of enjoy those moments to get to see who they really are. But, you know, of course, immediately he has to backtrack and say, no, I fully support the president. I'm all on board. And so we'll see if this gets, you know, keeps on going, this tiff. But the reason he walked it back, really, and the reason they don't want this storyline out there, because it's getting some national traction. You know, I saw an article in The Hill. I saw it in Daily Caller, I think Breitbart. And what you don't want there is the Trump organization, the president himself, or Donald Trump Jr., or some of those Trump people seeing this language and then turning on Tuberville. They really don't want that.
I mean, it's and I agree. I mean, the method of him, it doesn't surprise me for a football coach to talk like that. And I'm not even, championing or carrying water for Tommy Tuberville. But I think there is something to be said, and I may be alone on my own island, but I've said this before, that we would agree that all the Republicans running for Senate are going to be pretty darn friendly to the ideas of President Trump. So enough with it and move on and tell me how you're different than the other people that want this job.
Yeah, and I would have, as a voter, I would have preferred for him to say, look, I used the wrong language. I shouldn't have said that. You know, like you said, Sean, I'm a coach. That's just kind of we kind of talk like that. But here's the fact: we have to fix the VA. We can't stop in our reform efforts. And Sean, when I worked in Congress, I spent a lot of time on the VA because in Montgomery we had a really, really bad, one of the worst in the country. I think it was second worst. It was Phoenix, where all that happened, and then Montgomery.
Yep.
So we worked a lot on that, and I can tell you there are major problems. Certainly, the White House is ultimately responsible for that. They're ultimately accountable. But that chain of command is messed up. The whole bureaucracy is messed up. And I think we should be talking about it some more. I hope that won't stop these Senate candidates from talking about the VA because it isn't good. And it shouldn't be a Trump issue. It should just be an issue. And so I hope this incident won't stop them from talking about it.
Now, was it Phoenix City and Montgomery? Was it Montgomery where they were taken, where the VA folks were taking them out to buy drugs and solicit prostitutes? Is that where?
Oh, yeah, Sean. I mean, look.
I don't forget these things.
A whistleblower came to us with that story. I think I can reveal that now. They came to us with this story saying, look, you think it's bad? We had a VA worker take a veteran to a crack house, extort their VA payments with drugs and prostitutes, and when they got caught, that employee did not get fired. And that's how bad things got in Montgomery. And so when we exposed that in the newspaper, that kind of started to get the ball rolling on getting the director fired.
Yeah, that's the stuff that had me losing my mind back then. Can you hold on during the break?
Sure.
All right, coming right back. More with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We come back here, too. He will tell you how to get a primer on everything you need to know in your inbox each weekday morning and again on the weekend. The details on that when we come back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Talking with our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And if you want the latest in news statewide and nationally in your inbox, this man can tell you how to do it for free. How do you do it?
That's right. Yeah, we'd love to have you as a subscriber. It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. And if you go up to the top and click subscribe, you just enter your name and your email. like you said, completely free, no cost at all. But you'll be on the list, and you'll get the daily news updates in your inbox every morning.
It's great stuff. It's something I look forward to. Hit the refresh button a lot to see that when it shows up in my inbox. I want other people to get it as well. All right, we continue our conversation and a little bit of state news meeting Washington news with the tragedy over the weekend nationally in Ohio and Texas, and the president talking yesterday about what he's going to do, you know, the chance of do something, what he wants to do to try to stem the mass shooting violence out there. What are we hearing from Alabama elected officials and those that want to be elected?
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, the president has come out with kind of vague, not really very specific plans, but he says that he wants to focus on background checks, to have some kind of stricter background check, red flag laws, looking at mental health, looking at stricter penalties. I think really the death penalty for hate crime murders. And so all that. I was interested in asking the Senate candidates, the ones that are running right now for all of our votes, how they feel about that. Because, as you know, Sean, we were just talking about, they all, they're on the Trump train, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much every time on issues, on politics, on policy. But on this one, they're not. And we, Caroline Beck, who's our reporter at Alabama Daily News, asked all the candidates. And she only Tuberville did not return the call, but the rest of them said, no, they're not on board for these background checks. They were talking about other ways to, you know, change laws or policies, but nothing having to do with gun control. And I found that interesting. Not necessarily very surprising. I think in a Republican primary, you don't want to be labeled as the gun control kind. But given that it's the president, and then President Trump, that all the Republicans are following these days, and he wants it, it is interesting that you're seeing a divergence on the gun issue.
It is interesting because that, I guess they polled it or whatever, that they can they can break with the president on this, because it's a situation where I've said it many times that Donald Trump and now President Trump is a populist. The message is a populist message. It is not a conservative, you know, on all fronts. A populist message, it's conservative, sure, but it's not a straight line conservative message, because, I mean, look at whether it's bump stock ban or other things he's talked about. If it's not, I think somebody said this morning, if it's not immigration and it's not international dealings, then the president's not always down the line on what the Republicans have been for decades.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And remember, you know, you just brought up the bump stock thing. That was after the Las Vegas shooting,
yep.
Right? That awful shooting where that guy had, I think, two or three guns with these bump stocks, mm-hmm. that turn them into machine guns, you know? So they moved a Department of Justice policy to regulate or really prohibit the sales of those things.
And to make people that were, and the part that I said that was so, that left me slack-jawed, that the people had to turn them in. That if you owned one beforehand, all of a sudden this was something illegal and you were required to turn in with no money for it, turn in the bump stock back to the government. It wasn't just a grandfathered and no sales. It was more draconian, at least for that specific thing, than the Clinton era assault weapons ban. But I digress.
Yeah. So just think about the different positions here on guns. On the far left, you have that. You have confiscation. Mm-hmm. They want to implement gun control very much like Australia and New Zealand, where not only do we crack down on basically all guns, but they start confiscating the guns that are out there. And of course, on the far right, you have many that don't want any kind of restrictions at all on any kind of gun. And I'm telling you, when you're a Republican representative, whether it's at the state or federal level, you hear from those folks that say, I don't care what it is, you are not, you know, per the Second Amendment, you shouldn't put any kind of restrictions on gun control. So those are the polar, opposites of the gun control debate. But a lot of people are in the middle that think, well, sure, I respect the Second Amendment, I value the Second Amendment, and we need to have protection in this country. But a lot of folks also understand the need for background checks and for not allowing machine gun sales and things like that. And I think that's where you're right. The president's a populist, and he's always looking for that middle. But it may rub many Republicans the wrong way.
Yeah, but I don't. It's interesting that this one, because you're wondering which one carries the most weight. And I think at least what you're reporting here that y'all have talked about in AL.com, if I have to score, which thing is more important to Alabama Republican voters, Second Amendment rights over President Trump. I didn't know anything was more important to some than President Trump, but Second Amendment, at least what it seems like with the people y'all talk to, saying they would diverge with the president on this, that Second Amendment is still stronger than President Trump.
Yeah, and I can just tell you from a political standpoint, if you're in that primary, it is a safer bet just to say, no, we don't need any kind of new policies. And there can be a temptation there to say you want to fix things and to follow the president or whatever. But I'm telling you, many Second Amendment voters are one-issue voters. And that's what they're looking for in candidates, to say, all right, are they any kind of weak need on gun policies? And that's what they're looking for. That's what any consultant worth their salt would tell you. And that's just a political reality. So that when it comes to President Trump, who is going to, what he says, he's going to pursue these gun policies, that's interesting to watch for not just Alabama Republicans, but any kind of Southern red district Republicans.
You know, it is interesting to me where that takes the primary system in the parties versus having like jungle primaries or something like that, because you have a situation where the primary is so important. Obviously, you don't get to the big dance without the primary, and you got to play along. That it removes the nuance from that discussion. Now, I may be one of the people you're talking about, a pretty solid Second Amendment voter, but I vote on other issues as well. But if there's only one issue on the table, you may not get the best. You know, you may not get the best person for the job, because maybe they're great on that one issue, but they stink at everything else.
Yeah, and how different are their votes going to be? I don't think very different
at all, to be frank.
Right. So what are you really voting for? In many ways, I think you're voting for the best worker, the person who knows how to work the system best to help Alabama, whether it comes to policies or funding or things like that. They're probably not a dime's worth of difference between the way that a lot of these folks are going to vote if they ever got to Washington in the Senate. What you want is somebody who can work the system, is a good negotiator, a good bargainer, that knows how to work within a system to achieve things that we like. At least that's the way I see it. But what do I know?
Hey, who does you've got a lot of political savvy here. So two questions quickly. Number one, who does Doug Jones want to see in the primary?
Well, Roy Moore, of course. Yeah. I think that's a less and less likely. Just as we've talked about before, his trajectory in the polls is going down, and can't raise money. I just don't see Roy Moore even getting to the runoff at this point, unless something changes. But yeah, in a lot of ways, that may be Doug Jones' only hope to get reelected, is if he faced a Roy Moore, or if another one of the candidates had a crazy scandal. Akin to the Roy Moore of 2017. I don't think we could even dream up the kind of scandal that would compare to the, you know, sex abuse allegations against Moore and the, you know, sort of the creepy factor there. I mean, that was kind of once in a generation crazy election. And so, but I don't know. Among the other candidates, I it's hard to say who would be easier to beat. But I think the only one that for sure he would have a chance against is Roy Moore.
All right. And does the president wade into the primary here in Alabama?
I don't think, not until the runoff. Maybe if he had somebody that he truly wanted or somebody that he did not want in the runoff. And you saw that in the Roby primary last year when Roby and Bobby Bright, a former Democrat, went to a runoff. That triggered Trump to say, go with Roby. You know, you don't want this former Democrat and Bobby Bright. So those kind of situations is normally when Trump weighs in, unless it's somebody really in his close circle. But I know Congressman Byrne has a lot of ties to the Trump White House and their political team. So maybe if he got into a runoff with somebody that the Trump team didn't like, maybe in that circumstance.
All right. You mentioned, that was my last question. You mentioned Roby, and we have just a minute left. Why is she not running again? What's going on?
Well, look, the place has changed a lot. She was elected in 2010, was a part of that really willful, boisterous Republican class that came in, and a lot of that's changed. They're in the minority now. She's got kids getting older and getting into high school and middle school, and so it's just not there. You know, she has always said she'd step aside and give somebody else the chance to be the congressman, and now's that time. So she'll have served 5 terms. That's 10 years in Congress. That's a pretty good career. So, yeah, the place has changed, and they're going to be in the minority for a while, and that's not a lot of fun.
Hey, speaking of serving a lot of terms, then I've just got 30 seconds, but one last one here. Senator Shelby, roll call story came out yesterday. Hasn't raised any new money. Now, I guess you don't need it when you have $10 million in your war chest, but is that another tell? Is that another tell he's not running again?
Well, I think most of the political world sort of assumes that this is probably his last term. But you never know, and I would never count Shelby out. And he doesn't need any money. He's pretty busy. Unlike years past, he's really busy with the Appropriations Committee running it right now. And so I'm not surprised he's not raising money.
Okay. All right. Just thought I'd ask. Remind folks, too, website and how to get signed up for the email.
Yeah, aldailynews.com. It's real easy and it's free. Just go to the top, click subscribe, and you'll be on the list. Be glad to have you as a subscriber.
Always fun to talk with you, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, be good, Sean.
There he is, folks. Todd Stacey. And we'll be right back. Grab some calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, there's the national headline, farm groups sounding alarm over China trade war escalation. Two things are going to help this. It would be a lot worse this year for bean and corn farmers, but two things. Number one, Mississippi River flooding. My goodness, there's a lot of folks that really didn't have time to get, didn't have a chance to get in their fields till July. I saw some stuff along the Mississippi River drainage. May not, you know, as you go north, not long enough for beans. Depends on when they got them in. And corn, 90 to 110 days. So in other words, there might be areas people take insurance and don't plant, which will somewhat reduce the supply. So maybe keep the price up for those who are producing. And also Alabama's change for baiting on the hunting side. Corn, don't worry about corn prices. It's legal to bait deer in Alabama now going into this deer season. So corn prices, they'll be just fine. You're going to see more corn in more stores than ever before. You already see a bunch. You're going to see more than ever. What fixes the trade imbalance with China? Legalizing feeding corn to deer during deer season, or baiting them. That would they'll say, it's odd here, Mr. President. We've been looking through the numbers here, and we had a projected decline in corn revenues here at 37% in this part of the country, upper Midwest, in the Corn Belt. We thought we would be down as much as 61%, and we would have more crop insurance and failures and farm issues. But for some reason, the corn prices keep going up. And then they'll go, oh, it's because they legalized baiting for deer in Alabama. We don't have money for other stuff our state, but we'll have money to buy some corn. Maybe I could come in as a consultant, just my as-need basis for the president, just if he needs some, like, good old boy advice or whatever. I'll say, well, here's something you got to think about. You got to put this in the, hey, Mnuchin, first of all, you got too many consonants in your name. Second of all, look over here. I mean, people be spending money buying corn down here. The Chinese can't even get that level. All right, a story here from The Hill. This before the president heads to El Paso. Listen to this. So from The Hill, you can see this at thehill.com. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, of course, the non-darling of so many out there, late yesterday said President Trump's divisive rhetoric on immigration was directly responsible for the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, that left 22 people dead. This may be, can you put a note down? That may be one of the dumber things that has been said about this tragedy, that his rhetoric on immigration was directly responsible. Freshman New York congresswoman made the comments while speaking at a vigil in Brooklyn for the victims of a shooting in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, which is a whole other story, isn't it? She said, what about the guy in Dayton? Who's directly responsible for dirtbag in Dayton? They're both dirtbags. Ocasio-Cortez said, I'm tired of the questioning if the president is racist. He is. Ocasio-Cortez also repeatedly decried white supremacy. The president decried white supremacy. I'm decrying white supremacy. Join the club, Ocasio-Cortez. With the exception of some small percentage of people out there, I think most don't act like you're, oh, wow, I'm really taking a risky move here, decrying white supremacy. So are, like, almost all people. Don't act like that's your hill. That's a crowded hill. There are so many different, here's what's going on to say. There are so many different issues that are weaving themselves into a braid of violence in our country. One of them is white supremacist terrorism. She added, white supremacy is an international terrorist problem. Well, it, I don't know, international wise, but listen, can you say that there have been terrorists that in this country that are homegrown terrorists that are white? Sure you can. That's true. That is absolutely true. Acting like she's the only one decrying white supremacy. Give me a break. Enough of this. Statement appeared to be a reference to shooting at mosque in New Zealand earlier this year that killed more than 50 people. The comments from Ocasio-Cortez came after a weekend where the... Okay, this just goes to rehash. Then it says, President Trump on Monday called on the nation to condemn bigotry, hate, and white supremacy. What else do you want? What else do you want, Ocasio-Cortez? I thought that was a... That, and some people say the president shouldn't have had to say that. No, he probably shouldn't have had to say it, but he did. I see the spin out there, but he didn't mean it. He he had his fingers crossed or something. At a certain point, there's no end to that kind of conversation. When somebody goes, he didn't mean it. All right, there you go. So that's the latest, Ocasio-Cortez and her the braid of violence. The braid of violence. What about, just a side note here, Dalton, can you Google it for me? Because the typing noise will be like crazy on the mic if I do it, because it'll take a lot of typing. How many mass shootings, I'm thinking of Sandy Hook, how many mass shootings took place during the presidency of Barack Obama, former President Obama? How many mass shootings? I'm thinking like two or three off the top of my head, right? But how many mass shootings? So let's define it the same way. If this is going to be, make sure the definitions, make sure we're apples to apples. If it's something that President Trump is doing that has caused, can't be deportations, because we know former President Obama deported more folks than President Trump has, right? So what is the total number? And I don't know it. I mean, I'm thinking of a few off the top of my head. Sadly enough, you would think you would never forget one. But there probably is something out there. That is a sad statement, but I might have forgotten. But how many? Because if it's directly what the president says that causes these shootings, then let's see how many happened during. All right, see, Dalton has the smaller notebook computer coming in here, and
I'm quicker than Jeeves.
Yeah, you are. Ask Jeeves still up?
I don't think so.
Let me see. While you're doing that, so what are the? Is there anything out there? Is that even a searchable?
Well, it is searchable because the president was actually just tweeting about that this morning, and watching Fox and Friends apparently, who said that during Obama's years as president, Fox and Friends worked up.
Holy
the
cow!
Number.
Now I'm not happy that I'm doing this. I'm working during Fox and Friends.
Well, they were talking about that this morning. They said 32 during Obama's years.
Defined by
as
what?
President.
How do you define it? Shootings of four or more people, like we talked about the other day? Is that
that's probably the criteria they used. One specific stat that we can, it's very factual. Obama addressed the nation following 14 mass shootings. So 14 times President Obama got in front of the cameras and talked after a mass shooting.
Okay. So I'm glad to hear that I was not completely off on thinking about that. I'm bothered that I'm somewhere on the same page as Fox and Friends. I'm sorry. I know Fox and Friends fans out there. Not one of their better moments on the Fox network, I don't think. I'll get the Steve Ducey fans are going to be all over me now.
Yeah, watch out.
That's crazy. And let's see what kind of crazy sweater vest we're going to wear today. So 14 times President addressed President Barack Obama addressed the nation after mass shooting.
That's right. You think the Sandy Hook shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, or Newtown, and then the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then 12 more other than that that he addressed the nation. But if you use, and that's the question, is what constitutes a mass shooting? A lot of people go by, what, four or more?
Right. That's what you and I were reading yesterday, something that.
So if that's the criteria they use, then 32 mass shootings during Obama's years as president. But I find even that to be a low number if you include all of the gang violence that's happened around America, not just during Obama's years as president, but it was happening then too.
So I mean, why not? Back then, and you go back and run the tape, that's a good thing. I don't think at any point I said, President Obama is responsible for this mass shooting. No, I said the same thing. I said dirtbags that are evil are responsible for this.
Mm-hmm.
But now that can't be. It has to be. Wouldn't you be so scared if you thought the president's rhetoric would be able to trigger people at any point? Wouldn't you be so scared you'd like live in a bunker? I mean, because tomorrow it may be you. All right. We'll talk about this at 343-0106. So the number 14 that he gave speeches, 32 total, right?
That's right.
All right. Oh, yeah. Somebody else here discussing the fingers crossed argument. Yeah, I see that. You see that on Twitter today. The president said he was against white supremacy, but he had his
Seeing a whole lot of that.
Fingers crossed.
And
how do you – at that point, if we're ever having that discussion with somebody, I walk away and go do something else because – that's not a debate. That's just ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I would say at least 70 – well, I don't know. At least 50% of people on both sides of the aisle, you're not changing any minds regarding anything.
Correct. Exactly right. So why why pack up and go to Facebook and fight it out?
That's so childlike, the fingers crossed argument.
Oh, yeah. He said it, but he didn't actually mean it. Okay. All right. We're moving on. 343-0106. Also, our online opinion poll question is popping over at fmtalk1065.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 151, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Checking through some emails here and text. Hey, people coming to get some of the I-10, the no I-10 toll stickers. Now, here's how it works, because we're not I know people are like, hey, can I come just get one? Here's the rub. We're not – maybe when we go out for a live show, which hopefully we're doing real soon, and taking a Midday Mobile on the road, when we do that, I'll bring some of these out. But they're for sale. Money goes back into the project here to oppose the I-10 Mobile River Toll. They're $1.25 each. Good-looking stickers, too. But here's the deal. I can't sell them onesie-twosie because we're not a – we just don't have like cash registers, and I mean, we only have everybody here working. We're a small business. Everybody here working is actually working at doing the radio thing. So it's we take time to do that. So I'm gonna sell like maybe if you want to buy 50 or more, or maybe we make it 25 or more, something like that. Just I see somebody here who wants to buy 50. If you do that, that's fine. Well, you and I'll get together on the email and you just stop by here and bring us some money. We'll give you the stickers and then you can distribute them how you want, whether you're gonna. Go put them at your retail location or something like that. That's cool. I just can't get – we're a wholesaler. We're really not that either. But we need to treat it like a wholesale thing. So maybe you've seen the pictures of them. You go to my Twitter feed. You can see them. It says, toll I-10 tolls and has the old Ghostbusters circle with the line through it. If you got to have that for the back of your vehicle, cool. And we'll direct you to some places on the web where you can get them onesie, twosie. But if you want to buy, I said 50. I mean, let's keep it at 50. If it has to be somewhat, if you say I can only get the money together for 30 of them, then might work a deal. But bulk buy, if you're going to come get these from us, you can hit us up on the text line 343-0106. Also, you could email me directly at Sean, spelled the fast way, SEAN. At fmtalk1065.com. All right, there you go. You see this story? Here we go. unbelievable shooting going on at a Baton Rouge Walmart today. Here's a little more from Westwood One on the story.
We did apprehend one of the two men that got into the altercation inside. We also have one weapon that we recovered, but we have one suspect that we still have not found and is at large.
Okay, so it's not a, people are reporting another, it's not a mass shooting event. It says shots fired at the Baton Rouge, Walmart in Baton Rouge, in East Baton Rouge. So it's not a massive, I guess it's just your average gunplay. Just your average gunplay breaking out somewhere back by the technology center, back somewhere, home furnishings, somewhere in there. And then if you didn't catch it at the beginning of the hour with, I mean, this is never okay. I hate to put any qualifier on it, because this is never okay. But with everything going on, and on day one of school, a bomb threat was called in to Mary G. Montgomery. Everything is fine. If you are a parent, everything is fine. They cleared it. They took the bomb-sniffing dogs. Everything is fine. The kids are fine. But they did the search through there. They made an arrest. Mobile County Sheriff's Office has made an arrest of a 17-year-old in that. I have fear for that stuff. We had something, not that exactly, but at my children's school a while ago, we had got you get the email thing. By the time I had gotten the email, the situation had been resolved. But that kind of stuff makes your stomach come inside out, doesn't it? I mean, mom and dads, right? I get it. Do they have any update? Oh, I was just seeing something come up on WKRG. Okay, no update other than what we had before. Developing story here on this bomb threat called in at Mary G. Montgomery. Oh, and the story from this morning, I didn't get a chance to do it. I talked about it, that we're going to get into this. Story about your adventured, when you're at your most adventurous. Okay, I think this is pretty interesting, because I keep thinking the older you get, the more adventurous you get in some parts of your life, right? But it says now, according to a survey out there, age 34, that's it. That's when you're at peak adventure, and after that, it's all downhill. According to the new study, 34 is the age when you're most adventurous. The study found we spend more than $2,000 a year on adventurous activities like trips. Okay. Oh, okay. Then they say trips like rock climbing or skydiving or trying exotic foods. What if you did all three of those at the, like in a weekend? You probably need your arms rock climb. You use your arms to climb up the rock. Then you skydive while eating an exotic food. It says some of the top signs that somebody's an adventurous person. Number one, they are open to new experiences. Number two, spontaneous, curious about other cultures, willing to try new foods and follow their dreams. Dalton, we're going to start a company and we're just going to find survey things like when you're at your hungriest. At what age are you hungriest? And then we'll survey a bunch of people and find out at what age they thought they were hungry, because the peak age is 34. Why? They haven't interviewed. There's people that might not have hit their adventure peak. I may, if God is willing, get to be, you know, in my 70s one day, 80s one day, older. I mean, be even more adventurous than now. I think that's not fair. But yes, Dalton, we need to push for the hungriest peak. At what age are Americans the hungriest? All right, we'll wrap it up for today. Be back tomorrow morning for Mobile Morning starting at 6. Paul Feinbaum Show is on the way next. If y'all haven't noticed, we're closing in very quickly on the start of the college football season. A lot of excitement and a lot to talk about here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll talk about what's coming up this fall. Of course, Auburn football, but all the shows around it. We'll give you some details, some deets, as the kids call them, when they're adventurous, coming up in the next couple weeks. All right, I'm out of here. See you mañana.